And so we are going to continue talking about our living hope this morning. Like I said, we're going to focus upon one person. Okay, we're going to focus upon one person. But before we do that, I want to remind you of our Cornerstone Connect number. This is a number we use. If you've got a question during the message, you can text in. Some Sundays we're able to answer you that Sunday when we're team teaching. But today, take advantage of that. Even though we're not here in person, it might even take a few days for us to get back to you and answer your question. If it's something that maybe I said that confused you or didn't explain it as fully as it could have, or maybe it's just another question that popped in your head while I'm teaching. Take advantage of that. 605-215-5150. Take advantage of that number, and we'll get back with you as soon as we can and try to address that question, because we want to be a place here at Cornerstone Church where we continue to grow, where we keep the conversation going, where whether we're meeting in person or online, you just don't listen to me for 20, 30 minutes, sometimes 40, depending on the day, and then you just walk out and you forget what happened, and it doesn't make a continuing impact upon your life. So we want you to continue to grow. Use that number, 605-215-5150. And we'll get back with you as soon as we can with an answer that hopefully answers your question more fully or even recommends some resources for you. And so I've got a question to get us started this morning before we dive into it and read some scripture. Are you struggling to keep your head up? Now, this may be a silly question to ask at this time with the coronavirus that we are experiencing across our nation and across the world. Are you struggling to keep your head up? It seems like, okay, you already know the answer to that question. Why did you ask that? Well, it's important for us as we jump into this to think about what we're focusing upon. What's our focus upon this morning? And I want to talk about our living hope. Our living hope. And I pray that before we leave this morning, if you need refocused, that will happen this morning, that we can all have hope this morning before we leave. And so I want to pray before I continue speaking, and just pray with me at your home. Pray that I will say what I need to say this morning and that you will receive what you need to receive this morning. So let's pray together. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this Sunday, Lord, this Easter Sunday 2020. Yes, it's a little different than we would have ever imagined. But God, this did not take you by surprise. You were not caught unaware of this. And so, Lord, we pray that your will be done on this Easter Sunday. There may be millions listening across the world online to a message, Lord, from other speakers, other pastors, that they may never have listened to before. So God, I pray not only for Cornerstone Church and for Vermilion and the surrounding communities, God, I pray for the church worldwide that you would impact this world with this message of hope today. As we speak of your resurrection, I pray that people's lives would be transformed and God, that you would do what only you can do. And so Lord, for us here in Vermilion at Cornerstone Church, I pray that you would just help me to speak the message that you have for us this morning. And God, for everybody listening, that they would open their hearts and their ears and their minds up to you this morning, and you would do what you can only do. God, change all of our lives this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So grab your Bibles. I want to read from the Gospel of John this morning. And so grab your Bibles with me. Maybe you've got a tablet, a phablet, a phone, whatever you got. Grab your device, grab your Bible, and read along with me. John chapter 20, verse 1. And so I told you, we're going to focus on one person. That person is Mary Magdalene. And we're going to look at the story kind of through her eyes and see her journey, her experiences with Jesus. So this is John chapter 20, verse 1. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb. And so this very first Easter morning, as my son said, they haven't even invented Easter yet. Okay, so for them, it's not Easter. For them, it is a day of mourning. They're still in mourning. Jesus was crucified just a couple days before. Women were preparing to go to the tomb to put oils and spices on his body. And Mary being the first one there, she sees the stone was rolled away. And so in her grief, she thought that somebody had stolen him, so she runs to Peter and to John and tells him what had happened, and they take off towards the tomb. And so I want us to put ourselves in Mary's sandals if we can. I want us to try to think about how she was thinking that this morning, what her thoughts might have been, what her emotions might have been. So it's important that we do that. So Luke chapter 8 gives us a little bit background on Mary. Even though we don't know a lot about her life, she's actually mentioned more times than some of Jesus' closest followers. Okay, Luke chapter 8 tells us that Mary Magdalene at one point had seven demons cast out of her by Jesus. Jesus, early in his ministry, at some point came along Mary, and he cast 7 demons out of her. So listen, we don't know much else besides that. It says she became one of his followers, and her and a couple other women also became some supporters of Jesus' ministry. Okay? Listen, we love that. We'll take offerings from anybody. Okay? Ladies, feel free to send your money in. Sorry, that was a little bit of free commercial there. But we see Mary here experiencing this life-altering moment when Jesus set her free from bondage and possession of 7 demons. And so Mary was a faithful follower of Jesus, and she was close with Jesus. Now, popular culture and stories and movies have tried to pervert this relationship into something that it never was. Okay, there's absolutely no biblical or historical proof that they had any type of relationship other than teacher and follower, even if they were close as friends. Listen, she loved Jesus, and why wouldn't she? She couldn't find freedom anywhere else from what she's experienced if she found it through the ministry and person of Jesus. And so many assume she was a sinner in another story. We don't know that for sure. Mary was the most popular name for Jewish ladies at the time. We don't actually know much more about Mary. Maybe she had a very sinful and shady past. We don't know. But what we know was when Jesus came along, she was set free from the bondage of several demons. Okay? And her life was transformed in that moment. And so this morning, this first Easter morning, when she runs to the tomb and she sees the stone rolled away, she was already deep in grief. And can you imagine how much more despair she might have felt at that moment? How hard it would have been for her to keep her head up and find any glimmer of hope. The one who set her free, who she thought was the Messiah. Maybe she just didn't understand what the Messiah would look like. Many others didn't. Most of them didn't, in fact. But then the stone has rolled away, and even in her grief, she was in deep, deep despair. This is a lady who Jesus brought hope to her in her darkest moment. And now again, she was feeling this despair return. But what she didn't realize, that hope was soon to return for Mary. After she had left and gone and got Peter and John, she would return to the tomb and take a closer look inside. Let's continue reading. This is verse 11 of John chapter 11. It says, "Now Mary stood out of the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw 2 angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been taken, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'Well, they have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' By this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus." Imagine that. Imagine that. In her grief, she looks straight at Jesus and doesn't realize that that's him. Listen, I don't understand how this happened. I don't know why. Maybe somehow the Lord had caused her not to recognize him. Maybe in her grief she was just overwhelmed. Okay, we don't know. We truly don't know. But she didn't recognize it as Jesus. But I want you to see when it changed for Mary. I want you to see when it changed for her. This is Jesus speaking. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." And still Mary thought that this was just a case of a body snatcher, of thieves or something. And even looking at Jesus, thinking he's the gardener. "Just tell me where you've taken the body. I'll go get him." But I want you to see what happens next. In verse 16, Jesus says something that changes her life, that restores hope to Mary. And what does he say? If you've got your Bibles open, look at it there. What does he say? In verse 16, he simply says her name. He says, "Mary. Mary." And she turns towards Jesus and she cries out in Aramaic. She says, "Rabboni." Listen, this isn't an affectionate way to say rabbi. This wasn't a formal teacher, rabbi. This was somebody that she knew. This is somebody that she felt close enough that she didn't have to use the formal version of this word, is Rabboni. She recognized in that instant who it was. She recognized that it was Jesus. She recognized that it was her living hope. She recognized it was a person who had set her free from demons years earlier. In an instant, everything changed for Mary. In an instant, her hope was restored. In an instant, her hope returned. Then Jesus goes on to tell her. He's like, listen, I've got to go to my father, but you've got to go tell my brothers first. You've got to tell them that I am risen. You've got to tell them that I'm alive. And it says that Mary went back to the other disciples and told them the news. She says, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. He has risen. And listen, the disciples, man, they didn't know what to think. Those that hadn't been to the tomb yet didn't know what to think. But hope had returned for Mary because she had seen the Lord. Listen, in her grief, she had lost hope. In the uncertainty, she had lost hope. But once she heard her name, hope was restored. Hope was restored in an instant. And Mary was the first person to see the resurrected Jesus. And what an unlikely witness Mary was. Think about it. Listen, even if she didn't have a shady past, even if she wasn't a super sinful woman, something had to have happened where she experienced something for those demons to have possessed her body. And that fact alone would have brought shame upon her and upon her reputation. The fact that she was a woman makes her a very unlikely first witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Not just the empty tomb, but she saw the person of Jesus. She was the first person he appeared to. What a great testimony to the love of God. What a great testimony to Scripture. If you were going to make up a word religion, you would not use Mary. You would not use a woman as the first witness of a resurrected Savior. But God did, and Jesus did. What an amazing Savior that we have. What an amazing living hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Listen, what I want you to see here is hope returned to Mary. That's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. He's our living hope. And I hope this morning, if you're struggling with fear, if you're struggling with doubt, whether it's the coronavirus or other situations in your life, that you can have hope this morning. You can have hope in Jesus Christ this morning. Maybe you're struggling with addiction. Maybe you've never bowed your knee to Jesus and called him Lord and called him Savior. But you can have hope this morning. You can be set free. The Apostle Peter speaks to this living hope in his letter to the believers suffering persecution and opposition from Rome. In the first chapter of his letter, Peter says in verse 3, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. Listen, this hope that we have is a living hope. This hope through the resurrection of Jesus, it is a living hope. It's a living hope. It can sustain us through hardships. It can sustain us through trials. It can sustain us through persecutions. It can sustain us through even uncertainty about the future. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we don't face the world as others face it. We don't face despair the same way. We don't face fear the same way. And listen, if there's just two things I want you to remember this morning as we talk about Jesus Christ, our living hope, I want you to remember this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the reality of the resurrection, gives us hope, number one, for now. And number two, it gives us hope for the future. It gives us hope for now and gives us hope for the future. This is a now and a not yet salvation. This is a living hope that is for now, but it sustains us through the future. This is a new birth into a living hope, Peter says. This is describing what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Listen, you're not defined by your past anymore. You're not defined by your past anymore. When Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're defined by him. You have hope now. But it's also hope for the future. It's an inheritance that we are waiting on that can never perish, that can never fade, that can never falter. It's an inheritance that we're waiting on. And so we experience eternal life now. We get a glimpse of eternity here. It's an inheritance. It's a deposit. Scripture says it's a deposit. It's a guarantee of what is coming later. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ transforms us into a new person. The Spirit of God lives inside of us, and that is our deposit, guaranteeing that God is not done with us yet, that this world is not all there is. That as His followers, as His adopted sons and daughters into His family, we have hope for now and we have hope for the future. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, if we only for this life have hope in Christ, then we are to be pitied above all people. If we only for this life have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Listen, this is not just hope for now. It's not an add-on to make things better. It is a transformation, a new way of living, because we place our faith in the living hope, which is Jesus Christ, is what we're celebrating this morning. And the resurrection makes all of this possible, because Jesus had a power over death, because Jesus paid the penalty of our sin and our rebellion for us. We now, if we respond to His call, His invitation to be His sons and daughters, we can have new life. We can have new hope, not just for now, but for the future. So as I prepare to close this morning, I just want to ask you, what is your hope in? What is your hope in this morning? Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, what is your hope in this morning? In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Paul's writing says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. If you're struggling with hope this morning as a follower of Jesus, get into God's Word. Get into God's Word. Listen, can I tell you something? Put down the Bible promise book. Yes, there's lots of promises in the Bible. But listen, God's Word is not a magic eight ball. It is not a verse of the day, encouragement of the day type of thing. Read it from beginning to end. Get to know the God that you serve. Let it be an encouragement to you. And this is what Paul was talking about in Romans. When you see the patterns in Scripture, when you see God's faithfulness in the pages of Scripture, your hope will be inspired with you, in you. Your hope will be renewed as you see God come through time and time again, as you see His constant presence no matter what's happening around you. Man, get into God's Word. Read an entire book for the first time. Don't just yank your favorite stuff out of it. It was never meant to be read that way. Let it encourage you. Let it build up your faith. If you're an unbeliever this morning, listen, I want to tell you, unless your hope is in something unchangeable, unshakable, hope will always be a moving target for you. Hope will always be a moving target for you. And some of you listening have tried so hard to find happiness. When happiness cannot be found, happiness happens. There's a joy that comes with knowing your Creator. This hope that I'm talking about, and it can help you keep your head up in times of despair, help you keep your head up in times of fear. And so I want to pray this morning. And if you're a follower of Jesus and you're struggling this morning, I'm going to read a verse this morning as a blessing over you and your family, and I want it to be an encouragement to you. Listen, if you're an unbeliever this morning, if you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe you're skeptical, maybe you're kind of wanting to tip your toe in. That's not really how it works. Man, you're either all in with Jesus or you're not. But I encourage you. I dare you. Listen, I challenge you. If you're an unbeliever, if you're a skeptic, but you hope that maybe God is real, you hope that maybe what I'm talking about is real, I challenge you this morning. Call out to God. Pray to a God that you may not even be sure that is there. Ask Him to whisper your name. Ask Him to say your name like He said to Mary. Listen, I don't know how He's going to do it, but I do know that God has promised to be found by those that actually seek for Him. If you're a seeker of truth and you're open to the idea that God exists, I challenge you, call out to Him, ask Him to reveal Himself to you. And if you're listening and you recognize your need for a Savior this morning, while I'm praying, I challenge you to make a commitment to Him. It's very simple. You've got to admit that you're a sinner. And listen, we're all sinners saved by grace. We've all been at that moment where we come to the end of ourselves and we recognize our need for Jesus. The Bible says that everybody's sinned. So you're no different than I am. You've sinned. We've got to come to that place where we admit our need for God, we admit our need for forgiveness, recognize our shortcomings. And then we've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to find forgiveness for our sins. He's the only way to God the Father. Jesus came to bring peace between God and man, to bridge that gap, that sin that our rebellion created between us and God. And then what you've got to do is you've got to confess Him as Lord and Savior, and that means you recognize Jesus as the Savior and Lord of your life, that He's the only one that can save you, and from this point forward, your life is His, not your own. That means you go all in with Jesus, say, everything I have is yours, I'm going all in with you. And you can pray that even as I pray this morning. So let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this Easter morning. And God, I thank you that we are reminded that we have hope in you. And I thank you for the story of Mary Magdalene, God, as we see a life completely transformed when Jesus showed up. And God, that she had hope in you and that her hope was restored when she saw you, when she saw her resurrected Savior, when she saw her resurrected Rabbi. Her hope was restored. And God, I pray for a restoration of hope for people this morning, for those that love you, for those that call you Lord and Savior. I pray for, Lord, a restoration of hope for those that are struggling in this time. God, I just come against fear and doubt. I come against the enemy that would love to sow discord and disunion. God, I pray that you would protect marriages, you'd protect homes, and God, that you would restore hope in the lives of people that are listening this morning. And for those that are listening that may not know you, God, I pray that you'd bring them to the end of themselves and they would recognize their need for a Savior. They would recognize their need to make peace with God. And that this morning, Lord, they'd simply turn to you, ask for forgiveness of sins, that place their trust in the work of Jesus Christ. And God, they would give their entire life to you. They would surrender it all. And God, and in a moment, you promise to make them brand new. And God, I pray that if they do that, that hope would flood their soul, that freedom would flood their soul. And God, they would know that they've been transformed. So God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for our living hope. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for loving us and dying for us. May we all share the hope that you've given us with someone else. In Jesus' name, amen.